Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you for coming. Thank you, worship team. Give them a very big hand clap. Yes, the worship was so good, and I didn't want it to end. That's why I was like, let me what? Push in some other songs. Amen? I didn't want it to end. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Ronnie, thank you. The sound was very nice. Hallelujah. Okay? Ronnie, I don't know whether he fears or he doesn't like. Yeah, but he fears this place. Amen? That's why he's rarely here. Glory be to God. Because the demands are very high. Glory be to God. So Ronnie, thank you so much. Yeah. We've been with Ronnie from day one. Glory be to God. Day one in Bugorobi. Hallelujah. Yeah. Ronnie, apparently, he says he's a member of this church. But I don't think so. Okay. Ronnie, are you a member of this church? Okay. How often do you give to this church? You don't answer that one. Yeah, but hallelujah. Yeah. Rachel, have you ever received any money from Ronnie? Confidential. Okay. Glory be to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, this is not about Ronnie, okay? What I'm going to say next. If you are Ronnie, be with me. Yeah, I really doubt when someone says they are a member of a church and they don't send, especially, financial help. I just don't see how that works. Do you know how it works? Is there anyone who knows how it works? They might, but what, yes, if they are not able to, they don't have money, that's perfect. But if they have the money, like Judith. Yes, but you have the money. Hallelujah. Okay? For kids. Kids understand, okay? Grace, Joy, Elizabeth, okay? You can be a member of a church and for them, Bambi, they're innocent. Because their parents, what? Their parents, what? Okay, we give on their behalf. Hallelujah. Yeah, but I just don't know how it works. Eh? Like, I don't know how it works. Hallelujah. But there are so many things for which I don't know how they work. All right? And I'm open to learning how they work. Glory be to God. Just as I've told you in the past that unfortunately, you have a pastor who doesn't know everything. Hallelujah. Okay? I'm humble to let you know that I don't know what? Everything. Even things in the Bible. There's some things I don't know. Glory be to God. But I believe I know the important basics. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Esther, say amen. Glory be to God. Esther is my niece. Yeah, not nephew. Remember? That P, if you invert it, it becomes a B, so I know it's not what? Anyway, it's not a boy, yeah. Because a niece is a what? A girl. Nephew is a girl. Glory, yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, good to see all of you. Hallelujah. Good to see what? All of you. There's also a first-time visitor we didn't welcome. She's called Macklin. Macklin, give Macklin a big hand clap. Macklin was invited by Praise. Hallelujah. Amen. They work together. Glory be to God. And the gentleman who just testified was invited by Bob. Is that so? Yes, Bob Asimwe. Thank you so much, Bob. Hallelujah. Bob is on a mission to empty mosques. Hallelujah. To empty what? mosques. And that's a very great calling. And it's a very great job. Glory be to God. Yeah, Bob, thank you so much. Yes. So when I asked him who invited you, he told me a gentleman called Bob, he's a businessman, what? Importing cars, you know. So I knew it was Bob Asimwe. So Bob, thank you so much. Glory be to God. Yes, we shall pray for you. Bob, has he received the Lord? Not yet? Anyway, we're going to address that. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, last Sunday was awesome. Last Sunday was what? It was awesome. It was great. We worshiped the Lord for quite some time. And we also said bye to Juliana. Yeah. The Kalibalas were not here. Yeah, but for a good cause, I believe. Amen. Or they didn't want to come with the baby who would engage everybody. Yeah, but it was a good service. And worship team, thank you for last Sunday. Hallelujah. Now, the dream praise was referring to, okay, people who call it the 8th July dream, okay, and that's what we call it, okay. So in this dream, maybe it is me who had it on Friday before that Sunday. And in this dream, Janet Kumseveni was a medical doctor. And she was at the entrance of what seemed like her school, or what was really her school, doing physical exams on students who were coming to the school. And she was also inspecting the condition of body scan machines, which the students were coming with and they were going to use for their schoolwork. So I laid down, and then the doctor, okay, Dr. Janet Museveni, did a physical exam on me, and I was good. Okay, and my scan machine was also in good condition. Glory be to God. So we said that dream meant, especially if you consider what we had been talking about the 2 weeks prior, okay, it meant that we were beginning something, we were entering into another season, okay? Another chapter of LAT was beginning, and that chapter was especially going to, one of the things that would be highlighted in there would be the prophetic ministry. Glory be to God. Why the prophetic ministry? It's because that is what we are coming into the school with, and we are going to use that. What does a scan do? A scan essentially sees. Hallelujah. It sees what is not, what cannot be seen with the what? The natural eyes. Glory be to God. So we thank God for that. And that also implies that we are really fulfilling our calling as a church. Step by step, chapter by chapter. Glory be to God. And as long as we continue that way, by the time the Lord comes back, we shall have finished our work, and the Lord will say unto us, well done, good and faithful servants. Glory be to God. Okay, now that is for the church, eh? Okay, but also as individuals, every one of us endeavor, okay, to fulfill the call of God upon your life. Glory be to God. If you're called to be whatever, all right, you're called to be a builder. Hallelujah. That is your calling. Okay, fulfill it. Do it well. Glory be to God. If you're called to be a giver, hallelujah, you're called to be a teacher, like teaching students at school. Do it well. That is your calling. Glory be to God. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17 says, okay, Paul, he told the Colossians that, say to who? Archippus, okay, say to him, what? Say to him that, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Hallelujah. And that is what the Lord is telling you. Take heed to the ministry that you've received. Okay, the calling that you have received, the gift that is in you, alright? Use it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, okay? You're not a preacher like me, okay? But you have things God has called you to do for Him in the earth. Hallelujah. Take heed to the ministry that you have received from Him, that you fulfill it. Glory be to God. Jesus fulfilled His calling. Hallelujah. And after He had done that, He went back to heaven, okay, for a reward. Glory be to God. John chapter 17 from verse 4, okay, one of Jesus' final words. All right? Okay, He's praying and He tells the Father in heaven that, I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. Glory be to God. I have finished. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus shouldn't return when you haven't finished what He called you to do for Him. Hallelujah. If He takes 100 years to come, 100 years from now, I'm very sure none of us will be here. Okay? Hallelujah. However, so if that happens, make sure you don't die before you fulfill the call of God upon your life. And maybe you don't have a lot of time for that. You don't have what? There's a specific amount of time in which you're supposed to do the will of the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. And then He said in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory with which I had with You before the world was. Okay, one of the things we can learn in there is going back to glory. He's going back to receive glory. Okay, to be honored, to be rewarded. And that's what will happen to each of us if we fulfill the ministry that God has given us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so, yeah. Yes. Amen. So, in the next chapter of LAT, yeah, the prophetic will be highlighted, okay? It will be prominent. Hallelujah. And we should all pray that that actually happens. Glory be to God. Okay? You're going to pray. Are you going to pray? Just say, yes. But when you're actually, you're going to do that. Okay? We should pray. Glory be to God. We are here for the Father. Amen? Glory be to God. Amen? Yes. So, yeah. I'll do whatever it takes to make sure that that chapter, okay? And I don't think that that chapter will end. Things will just be added on to it. Glory be to God. Okay, the chapter of the prophetic ministry. It will continue. And it will do what? It will continue. And I'm going to do my best, amen, to make sure that we fulfill it, or I fulfill it. Glory be to God. Amen. Because I have known it for years. That is one of the callings upon my life. Amen? But that is not the only calling I have. One of the other callings I have is to preach about financial prosperity. Amen? Hallelujah. That is also what? The calling I have. Amen? It's amazing how people fight the preaching of prosperity, especially financial prosperity. It's amazing. Like, what's their problem? What's the problem? The same people who send their kids to school, so they can go and study, such when they finish school, they can get jobs and get money and be well off. So what is the problem? What is wrong with preaching about being well off financially? If it was wrong, then every parent is sinning. Amen? Born or not, they are sinning by sending their kids to school so they can get educated, so that after they have gotten educated, they get jobs or they begin a business so they can earn money, so they can be well off. Do you understand? Eh? All right. Of course, the wrong teaching of financial prosperity, that one has to be fought. But for people to get annoyed and when the word prosperity is mentioned in church or by a preacher, that is really wrong. Hallelujah. That is real. Oh, now the preachers also avoid it. Okay? Yet the same preacher, okay, if it is like an established church and they're okay, that same preacher is also going to get a salary at the end of the month so that he can be well off financially. Do you understand? Eh? It's really the devil, by the way. The trouble, it is a devil. It is what? It is the devil. Because the devil then wants, first of all, the devil wants all Christians, the children of God, to be broke. You understand? So they can suffer. You know, because the enemy delights in the suffering of God's children. Especially when it is unnecessary suffering. Okay? He delights in that. And also, money helps to do the work of the ministry. Do you understand? It helps to do that. Glory be to God. Okay, money is good. Hallelujah. Money is what? You ask Esther. Okay, money is what? Yeah, Bruce. Amen. Hallelujah. Bruce knows that. That Esther knows that what? Money is good. Amen. So Bruce works hard to, you know, get the money. Money is good. Money is what? Good. It is the love of money. That's where the problem is. Greed. Okay? Covetousness. Hallelujah. And so, yes, it is not only the prophetic that is my calling, but also the preaching or the teaching of true biblical financial prosperity. Hallelujah. Amen? I am a prosperity what? Preacher. There's nothing wrong with being a prosperity preacher. So when you're like, man, those guys are prosperity. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Maybe you want them to say that they are blessing preachers. Maybe that's what, but it means the same thing. Because the blessings are in the Bible. Blessings what? Preachers. But when you start that, even 10 years down the road, now that's what it will also be for. Blessings preachers. This is blessings preachers. Can you imagine someone against someone telling people about the blessings of God? The blessings which start from Genesis all over the place. You can't evade that unless you don't read your what? Bible. Hallelujah. So I mean what? Whether you want to say, you are like, I can't tell my friends that my pastor, the prophet. You don't have to tell your friends, but I am. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I am what? I am it. Hallelujah. Amen. I am like Kenneth Copeland. I am like all those true, authentic, prosperity preachers. Hallelujah. I applaud them. I encourage them. I am like, please preach it. Glory be to God. All right? But I am against some. The fake ones. Okay, and those fake ones exist because they are the true ones. Okay? Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen? Now, I received that calling in 2006. In 2000 what? Six. I received it in a dream. Okay? In 2006. In a dream in which Joyce Meyer and Creflo Dollar featured. Creflo who? crave for dollar. Okay? It's amazing. Anyway, so in that dream, I was at a party seated with Joyce Meyer and crave for dollar. Amen? Then I told Joyce Meyer that I rather listen to you when you're preaching about love. But when it comes to prosperity, I rather listen to Creflo Dollar. Why? Because in those days, Creflo Dollar was a what? A true prosperity preacher. You understand? But he was known for that. He was in that camp, the faith camp, you know, the preachers. The Kenneth Higgins, the Kenneth Copelands, the Benny Hines, that clique. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. They were faith preachers and prosperity preachers. They were prosperity, they're called what? The healing, the prosperity. Anyway, yeah. So, because it was that, you see, and it was a true calling. That's why he features in that dream as that. Do you understand? Yeah? So, I told Joyce Meyer that I rather listen to you when you're preaching about what? Love. Okay? And by the way, to this day, concerning Joyce Meyer, if you listen to her, okay? Now, if you are a prosperity preacher, it doesn't mean that you should only talk about prosperity. Okay? But that topic will be prominent. Glory be to God. In your life, even when you try to evade it, somehow it will what? It will come back. All right? Now, concerning Joyce Meyer, okay, she essentially preaches love. To this day, I checked, she's 79, Jera. Is that true? We checked with you the other day at home. She's, I think, 79. But when you listen to this chick, 79-year-old chick, those things of forgiveness and what, that's love. Hallelujah. You can see she has remained true to it. It's like she can't evade it. She will talk about maybe ministry, how to succeed in ministry. But even with that, somehow love will get in. All right? Oh, next Sunday, the next day she preaches, somehow, she will be drawn to that area, okay? So, I told her that I'd rather listen to you when you're preaching about what? Love. But concerning prosperity, Creflo. Because that was Creflo's primary calling. Glory be to God. He had it, amen? Okay? Then, Joyce Meyer tells me that young man, all right, never separate those two things. Prosperity and love. Alright? Never do what? Separate them. Okay? Then I told her for you preach about love, Creflo preaches about prosperity, but for me, I will preach both. Glory be to God. Now you see, that is, you're receiving a calling in a dream. Glory be to God. Okay? She tells me never separate both. Okay? Then God repeats it in another way by me saying, I will preach both. Okay? Then, now, I wrote this in my book, okay? But it's something I didn't write, okay? You remember we had a what? Party. So now, when the party ended, okay, after we have had that discussion, okay, it was time to go. All right, so we left, and as we left, it began to drizzle or to rain. All right, and then Joyce Meyer and Creflo stood under one umbrella, and then I stood behind them. You know, they're going to share the umbrella to get shielded from the rain, and that is again the same message, okay? Prosperity and love going what? Together. So it is, and you understand the symbolism, eh? Glory be to God. So I received that calling in what? 2006. In that dream. Okay? Prayer to that, of course, 7 years earlier, God had told me in an audible voice that if you joyfully obey the laws of giving and receiving, you never see financial depression in your life. And by the way, we're at a time now when giving, like, first of all, you may not have what to give. Then even when you have what to give, you may be like, I give these 200 shillings. Tomorrow I might wake up when the fuel has been increased by 200, and now that 200, Jewagavie. You understand? Hallelujah. But I have determined, I am not stopping this, what? I am not stopping giving. I am not, because it's like the only thing that can bail me out. Me. For you, I don't know what, but I'm talking about me. I was told in 1999, okay, less than a year after, I was saved. If you joyfully obey the laws of giving and receiving, no financial depression. Okay? You understand? So even in this season, I am like the enemy is not getting me out of it. Glory be to God. All right? But that's not to mean that it's easy. Hallelujah. But I have ninokusamu effort. Hallelujah. Remember when you're in school and you got 30%? Then they would write those things or what? Or put in more effort. Put in what? Do you remember those things? Your report used to have them. For me, anyway. Okay. Then there are guys who would be sacked. Back in the day, there was sacking for, And even now, private schools do it. Okay. And so, when you get sacked, okay, they would write, like on the report, what would they write? Try your talents elsewhere. Okay, try your what? Talents elsewhere. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So anyway, I'm supposed to do what? To preach this thing, okay? Hallelujah. Not for my benefit, for the benefit of the children of God. Okay? God wants the children of God to be well off financially. Hallelujah. Say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Okay? Yeah, Creflo and Joyce Meyer, they stood for those things. Hallelujah. But now something happened some years ago. Okay, to Creflo Dollar. Something did what? Something wrong. And I've been telling you guys, I think, that Creflo Dollar lost it a long time ago. No? Because I say it when you are not in church, and then you don't listen to the sermon. But I've said it more than once. Okay, when he, whatever that false hyper grace, what? Gospel. It was around 2010. Anyway, around that time, this Creflo Dollar that you see is not the Creflo Dollar of those days when even God would use him in a dream for something good. He lost it a long time ago when he joined the Joseph Prince camp. Do you understand? Preaching rubbish. Okay? You know, preaching nonsense, okay? Yeah, and I have a friend of mine who, by the way, you can lose it. Anyone, by the way, can what? There's a guy, he's now in Georgia, Atlanta. He's a Ugandan, but while he was here, many years, ago, the Lord told him that I will take you to America. Okay, as in you reside there. And while you're there, I will even ensure that your church will be world changers. Creflo Dollar's church. Now, do you know the thing happened. The guy got a green card. I still chat with him. He got a green card, and the place where he got to stay was in Georgia, Atlanta, near Crawford Dollars Church. Man, a promise fulfilled. I talked with him a week before he left, so we're talking about 2010. You understand? He's there now, okay? Okay, now, so sometime, like, I think it was 2 years ago, he told me that he left the church. But he didn't tell me the reason. All right? He didn't tell me the what? Reason. Okay? Then, sometime later, because I knew the stupid things, Crawford Udola was preaching that things of however much you sin, you're going to heaven. As in, forever say, you know what, you know, And man, that rubbish is, it sounds very nice, Because, you know, many times we all want to sin, isn't it? So man, if a guy tells you, as in, nothing can get you out of Christ, I just give the guy a high five, okay? And then you go and do what you want to do, knowing that I am forever. That thing is, okay? Now, I'm telling you, you guys who are here, if you want to start a church, okay? Okay? Tomorrow, you have to start a church, okay? Let me give you a secret how to make your church grow real quick. Just start preaching that stuff. You understand? And so, that guy left. Then when I inquired, I got to know that he left because of what? Of that message. Like the guy realized, Pastor Creflo, Katie, Ochi, then I got to learn that by the many people left. At that time when I just began that stuff, many people left. Remember, it was it's what is called in the USA, mega church. Okay? Mega church means thousands. People left, including this Ugandan and the wife and the kids, of course. All right? They left, all right? Because the guys were like, no. It ain't in the Bible. It ain't where? In the Bible. All right? But then, I later heard, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that because that message is so appealing, some characters came and filled those seats. The church in the Damune Koraji, Nigeria. Then apparently, Crawford Udola said, you see, that shows that this message is of God. Okay? Hallelujah. Yeah, so, Bambi, Crawford lost it long time ago. But I don't think he's at the depth, the best word I should use is at the depth of darkness, okay, in his deception, like I was once upon a time. Hallelujah. I don't think, because you guys, I was thorough in this thing. That stupid gospel. If you found me around 2007, 2008, I was good. In quotes. I was what? So now, I can even listen to a guy who is saying those things, and I can listen to them, and I want to judge how deep are they in that stuff. Most of them who I find them very shallow. Shallow compared to where I was. Hallelujah. But interestingly, I wasn't sinning. You understand? I genuinely loved God, but I think it was just a matter of time. You understand? By the way, I wasn't sinning. Okay, this practicing of sin. You understand? But I think it was just a matter of time. But I thank God he got me before I went overboard, okay, from you know, that would have made it almost maybe impossible for me to come back. Because, by the way, for everything, for most things, or everything, there's a line in the spirit that you can cross. Hallelujah. There's a line in the spirit that you can cross, and you might never come back. Glory be to God. Okay? There are people who have refused to get saved. They have been preached to many times. Okay? I told you that story of Kenneth Hagin. I think he had a brother-in-law or someone like that. Okay? Kenneth Hagin would preach to the guy, and the guy would even cry. Say, yes, I, and the girl will cry, yes, I know I'm supposed to, I know, crying tears, a man. Okay? The guy then gets saved. He say, I know, but I know the guy cries. Okay? One time, the Lord told Kenneth Hagin that stop. Okay? He will never get saved. Like, you can see in the spirit, he had crossed a certain line, where Chiwede. He has hardened his heart to the level of, but the guy cries tears. Okay, and the Lord gave Hagin a scripture somewhere. I forget. He's like, don't you remember when I told Israel? You know, he gave him a scripture as in the guy had crossed that line. Hallelujah. He can't come back. Now, that example is for salvation, but there are in other areas also. You can cross a certain line. And those who try to talk to you about something, they're just wasting their time. And for them, they think they are operating in love. But God is like, you're wasting your time. Why don't you find someone else to talk to? All right? So there's that. Okay? Yes, I thank God. You know, I thank God what? Yes, so I don't think Creflo, because man, the things I had in my head, okay? Especially that doctrine, once saved or saved, grace of God, no one can snatch you from the blood of Jesus, eternally, forever, you know, I was thorough. Hallelujah. Thorough. You don't have to go to church. I said those things by to someone. You do, as in, you don't have to go to church. You're born again. You don't have to. If you don't want, you don't have to. God loves you irrespective. You don't have to. Okay. There's some guy, some preacher. You know him? I heard him who preached. Like, you know, for example, if you're struggling with, let's say, smoking, okay? You don't have to just, as in, you don't have to struggle to get, you know, but as you're smoking, you say, God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you, know, then why, you know, then somehow the smoking will just go. That is if you want it to go, you know, as in those things, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to. As in, does the church save you? Answer a question. Does the church save you? If you're Catholic, you say yes. Because you have to be, you know, in good books with the church. The Roman Catholic Church. The Pope. All right. Any man. Alright. Now, it is this Creflo Bambi, okay, who God gave a calling of financial prosperity. He lost it. Amen. He did what? He lost it. Okay. Including, okay, the issue of tithing. Glory be to God. Okay, like many of you have heard in the last what? Few days or weeks. Okay. You see, when you get into that stuff, that false hyper-grace thing, with time, everything will be what? Bulichimu. Marriage, what? You eventually, dish everything. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Okay? Yeah, so it is sad. Okay, and now, because of what you have heard about what Crawford said about tithing, okay, as I prepared yesterday to preach about fulfilling your calling, okay, if you ask Rachel, the topic I was going to preach, and I asked her to make a slide, the title was Fulfill Your Ministry. But later, the Lord was like, no. There's something very important which is prevailing in the body of Christ. I want you to address it. Hallelujah. I want you to do what? So I had to send a message that changed the title to what? To tithing, okay? A New Testament practice. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. When you read Paul, alright, most of what he wrote, he was trying to address something that was happening in the church. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. And for LAT, I believe God wants now, today, to address it. I don't know about the rest of the world, all right? But I just know that those are that message of a one-time prosperity preacher, called of God, it came with some rare anointing that many believers, bam, they were what? Messed up. Hallelujah. Especially those already who were what? Who were, Dennis has a saying, it's in Uganda, or it's in Runyankore, that if someone is squatting, and then you, Oksindika, Yeah, someone is at the age, and then you just have to, So that's one of the things we pray for. There are those who are on the age. Some even were not on the age. They were already not what? Tithing. All right? And this was like, yeah, I always knew it. Okay? Then there are those at the age who were pushed over. Okay? Then there are those who are not on the age, and, you know, the thing messed them up. Glory be to God. Okay? They believed it. Hallelujah. But it's not of God. It's a demonic thing. Glory be to God. Okay? But again, bam, before Ukrefo, it is a result of something that happened to him many years ago. Many what? Hallelujah. Ukrefo lost it years ago. Bambi. Sorry. But I think I believe he's still born again, but Bambi is deceived very badly. Like Joseph Prince, okay, like many characters now. Hallelujah. But I pray that they will come back to the right stuff, just like I did. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, the first time we see tithing in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14 from verse 18. Abraham is returning from battle or from a war. Okay? Then he meets a priest, a high priest, by the names of what? Melchizedek. Okay, so it says that in verse 18, that then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him. He blessed who? Abraham. And said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Who is the possessor of heaven and earth? In this context? It is God. Okay, it is what? It is God. And you see that when you continue, I think somewhere I would down. It is made very clear that the possessor of heaven and earth that is being referred to is God. Glory be to God. Okay? The reason why I'm talking about that is because a few years ago and to this day, okay, the guys in Zoe. Okay? Yeah. Elvis, you know, he told them he's a possessor of heaven and earth. And many fell for it. And they call him that man. Okay? The possessor of heaven and earth. But they got it from here. Okay? So, you are not the possessor of heaven and earth. God is a what? Okay, so Melchizedek says, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he who, Abraham, gave him a tithe of all. That is the first time tithing or a tithe is being talked about. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, this is more than 400 years before Moses. You understand? Eh? Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Please tell me, okay? Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot the 12, who was the firstborn? Reuben, secondborn. Okay, the 12 sons, amen? Then, years later, okay, when Joseph was around, 20, what's that mean that? He was sold to Egypt. Okay, when he was around 30, I think, okay, there was a famine in the land. Okay, and his family that was in Canaan had to join him there. Meanwhile, Abraham, your father, he had already met Melchizedek a long time ago, given him a tithe years ago. Okay? In fact, okay, Abraham, God had told him that your descendants will be in a land of bondage, okay, with slavery for 400 years, okay? Then he said after that time, they will come out and come back to this land. Glory be to God. The point I'm trying to make is that this giving of the tithe is way before hundreds of years, before Moses. Because while they're in bondage in Egypt, okay, 400 years or so, okay, that's when Moses is born to deliver them, to take them out of the land of slavery. All right? So when he takes them out, okay, they converge at Sinai or they get to Mount Sinai. That is when God gives them the law. Hallelujah. So these are hundreds of years after Abraham. Okay, that's when they are given the law. Okay? That's why they call it the law of Moses. What they should do to be in God's good books. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Alright? Now, the tithing that God intends for the church to practice is not the tithing of Moses. Do you understand? Eh? Hallelujah. It is the one of Melchizedek and Abraham. Do you understand? Because it's true, we're no longer under the law. So now, you have to. One day, I'll come and I'll tell you what it means not to be under the law. Okay? Alright? One of the things about the law is, thou shalt not murder. Alright? So if it says you're no longer under the law of Moses, Moses, now does that mean we should kill? Because we're not under the law. Alright? Should you kill? Yeah, so that in the law still applies. Eh? Hallelujah. Does that also mean that if you murder your kawa, okay, you've done, it's a wrong thing, but your kawa, you're still going to heaven? No. If you are a practitioner of murder, the Bible says you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? Ephesians says that the wrath of God is upon you. Okay? Now, you should listen to The definition of inheriting the kingdom of God according to those chaps. And according to what? What I used. Ex-Moses. Inheriting the kingdom of God doesn't mean going to heaven. They mean what? It means something like, I listen to, you know, at times you're flipping through the channels and you somehow land on these guys. You don't want to listen to their stupidity, but somehow you land on them. Somehow you land on Creflo. So there's a guy landed on him and he was explaining inheriting the kingdom. Okay, he says, for example, you know, if you self-control, what, you know. He says, that means, you know, if you can't control yourself, it means you won't enter the, something like the best that God has for you. That anger thing will mess you up. You won't enter God's best for your life. That is what it means by what? Inheriting the kingdom. Which is not true, of course. It's stupidity. But you see, you have to twist every scripture. Hallelujah. Like I used to do. So I know these things. You understand? Hallelujah. Amen. Not inheriting the kingdom of God means you're going to hell. You won't be in the kingdom. So if you're not in the kingdom, where are you? You're in hell. Hallelujah. A Christian. Now, so, anyway, 400 what? That's when Moses, the law, is given. Now, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. It basically says that Jesus, has become high priest forever according to the order of who? Melchizedek. You remember in the law of Moses, it was Aaron and his sons who were the high priests. So according to the law, it was Aaron and his sons. Now Jesus is now the high priest. But Jesus, wasn't from the tribe of what? Levi. He wasn't from the same, from the lineage of Aaron. He wasn't. It's another priesthood altogether. And he's our high priest. Aaron is not our high priest now. Concerning the priesthood of Aaron, you understand? It is now Jesus. Hallelujah. Who has come according to the order of who? Melchizedek. Melchizedek, to whom our father in the faith Abraham tithed. Glory. So this has nothing to do with the law. Do you understand? And I said it somewhat. A time ago, recently, but for some reason, people don't listen to what I want. Glory be to God. You can listen to what I tell you. You understand? So when Creflo and group say tithing is of the law, you understand? If someone has sense, they'll realize, it is not about the law of Moses. We are talking about something that existed before Moses. Hallelujah. Before Aaron, before that, it existed hundreds of years, more than 400 years. Glory be to God. It is that simple. It is what? That simple. Glory be to God. Jesus, our high priest, came according to the order of who? Melchizedek. So we are in the priesthood of Melchizedek, our generation, this era. The church, their high priest is who? Melchizedek, to whom Abraham, our father of the faith, tithed. You understand? It has nothing to do with Aaron. Glory be to God. Of course, now Aaron and Moses, they expound and they tell us the benefits of tithing. Glory be to God. Okay, so now, I don't want you now to say, Kati, all scriptures on tithing which are in the law before Jesus was Israel, that was man. No, now they expound. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says Jesus has become our high priest forever. Okay, according to the order of who? Melchizedek. Then it gets into chapter 7. Okay? And Paul says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter, okay, of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days, nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually or forever. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people, according to the law of Moses, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham. Okay? That he is talking about who? Melchizedek. Okay? Okay? He received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Verse 7. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Verse 8. Very important. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he does what? He lives. Here, mortal men receive tithes. Okay? He's talking about the Levites, okay? Aaronic priesthood. But then he's saying, but here he receives, not, mark the tense, eh? Receives, not he received. Meaning that though the phrase could be applying to Melchizedek, okay? Okay? But now it says he receives. It is that called present continuous? He receives. Okay, who? Melchizedek? Yeah? But also, but most importantly, he that is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Eh? The occult grandmaster turned to Christ. Man, they took him to some place in the spirit somewhere, and they showed him Jesus. Jesus, Ngalimu prison. Say, man, those things you're preaching about me, those are yours. If you see me, I'm suffering for what I did. Okay, so Jesus, in quotes. You understand? Eh? So that's why he had the zeal of messing up churches, because, okay? Hallelujah. So that, anyway, Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. Galatians chapter 1 from verse 11, it says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man. My goodness. Paul is saying, I didn't get it from man. You understand? Where did he get it from? Alright? He should have been taught. You know, your pastor who preaches, man, teaches you. But Paul said, no. I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what you don't understand. Eh? But the revelation of Jesus was also, but what Jesus taught him live, remember like Hagin? By the way, a Christian who hasn't read at least 3 books of Kenneth Hagin, eh? You're doing yourself a disservice. Man, Hagin, there's way in which even when you don't go to Bible school, eh? just five of his books, there's a way in which they can align you properly. But one of the reasons is because, man, again, Jesus would walk into the room. Then he begins to teach him. He tells him something. And Kenneth Hagin would be like, I won't believe it until you show it to me in the Bible. Okay? Okay? Sometimes you say, I want three verses. Jesus will say, you want three? But I'll give you more than three. Nebatandika. Live. Now, how do you argue with a guy like that? And so, the point I'm trying to make is that some of the things that are in the Bible, or almost everything that is in the Bible, okay, the Lord can teach you supernaturally, and then you'll be like, ah, all along this. Glory be to God. Paul fought the gospel, okay, and it had to take the Lord. But he knew all the verses. The guy was thorough, okay, in the law. But it had to take the Lord to tell him that, glory be to God. Revelation. Now, concerning tithing, I've given you the verses 2. Okay, now, I was also taught it, okay, or it was taught to me that it is of God, it is right for me, a Christian, okay, in a dream. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Where are the dreams? Okay? Amen. This is what I tell people who preach here that don't count on this thing. Amen. Have your stuff here. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, in 2013, okay? You remember in 1999, God had told me, if you join for bed, those are the kingdom, eh? No financial impression. So in 2013, one time I was like, but God, I want a lot of money. A lot of money to give away. A lot of money to do what? To give away. And I told him that if there's any wrong thing that I'm doing that is preventing that money from coming, chindage, you know, to chijewo then, I was very serious. I was like, God, where is it? Anyway, and the money. So, a few days later, God answered me by a dream. And in this dream, okay, it was in 2013, okay, it is, the position of Governor Bank of Uganda had fallen vacant. Hallelujah. And I applied for it and I did interviews. Glory be to God. I did what? But the dream ends. Yasimanyoba omuli mungufunye. Now, those dreams are not nice, man. A dream just interviews so nice. So, man, that perturbed me. Glory be to God. Of course, the governor handles money. It's money. Money of the country. Okay? Now, sometime later, okay, I get another dream. And in this dream, okay, I have searched for a mathematics exam with other students, okay? And before the results are officially out, a rumor starts to spread within the school, okay? What was the rumor saying? The rumor was saying that I had emerged best, okay? I'd imagined as what? The best, okay, in math. And I had gotten right, okay, the answer to a very hard question. And that answer was what? It was 10. Okay? And it is a dream that God, of course I knew that God, that 10. You remember, the context of these dreams is prosperity, money. When you talk to a Christian about money, and you mention that word 10, the first thing that comes to any Christian is what? Glory be to God. Now, that is one of the dreams that God, like, let me understand that for sure tithing is of him. So he was saying that I done well. I done what? Well, man. Kwa nalinkolachi? Mpeche kumi. You are done well. And remember, it's a very hard what? It was a very hard question, a very hard mathematics question. Okay? And I got to learn that God was saying that tithing is very hard for my children. It's a hard paper. It's a bone for my children. Glory be to God. I would never want to know how many of you tithe. I don't want to know. I don't want to. But one thing I know is that generally tithing is hard for Christians. But see, they just know Nayenga. All right? Now, those are the guys who are on the edge. And Crawford did what? Pushed them. Some even who are here, Nayenga, it is, who are this side, but it's hard. They also what? Hallelujah. You understand? I was taught, okay, in a dream. Glory be to God. Amen? This is 2013. By the way, the reason why these two dreams are going together is because this second dream I could tell was a follow-up of the other dream which ended without what? Ngasimani. Mpise. Hallelujah. So this dream came to tell me that I had gotten the job. There had been so many applicants. Many people had done the interviews. But I imagined the best. Glory be to God. Governor B.O.U. Hallelujah. 2-0 what? Pakakati. Sente tezinajia. Say as in real money. For what? Not for Luboa. Hallelujah. But for giving away, for blessing the children of God. Glory be to God. There's some people in this church who I think are better what? Givers than me. But you just wait. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you what? Dust. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some people I look at how they give and I'm like, man. As in, this is just too much. Okay, I remember years ago, okay, when you remember, Jera, that time when you'd be going and coming back, like, from the States to give birth, okay? Man, Dennis, I don't know if you remember. Dennis would ask me, when are you going? What time? Why, you know? Can I? Do you know what it means to drive someone, from here to Entebbe. I was like, on their fuel. But I used to see it as it drove me. And I'm like, this guy, man, this fuel. And those days it wasn't like now when he has what? Government of Uganda who fuel. Those days it was, he is dying. And the guy, man, this is the first time he's actually what? Hearing about it. I was like, you know, And so, I got the what? Can you just wait? Hallelujah. This man, And it is for what? Giving. Of course, some is for chewing. Some is for what? But the reason why I got it is because I told God I want to give. You see, God is looking for people he can give through. Hallelujah. Now, we are in this thing, this famine, but most people, unfortunately, and it hurts when I see them, most people are just taking care about their own things. No one is thinking about how, you understand? It is like, keep all you have to yourself. Pakanga twimbi. Twing it there, middle class, middle income. You know, it is bad. Hallelujah. People just think about their houses, their cars, their farms, their what. But as in, we think about other people. Glory be to God. Think about others, you understand? You can even put a pause to some of the things which you don't, which can be done later, and bam, be a blessing to people. Glory be to God. Just because things are tight doesn't mean that now God has paused generosity. Generosity, kati? Basiza ochi? Pause. No! Not even a pause, full stop. Until, no! Glory be to God. And that is, by the way, why Crawford Dollar thing was very dangerous. That thing was from hell. That thing was from the pit of hell. That is why it, you understand? Because you could see the enemy at work. Already Christians, things are hard. The church is hard. Then he sends something that is supposed to now finish it all. But this thing was very demonic. Very, very what? Demonic. Hallelujah. But I don't know whether it was done with a good heart, good intentions, whatever the intentions, but it was demonic. And so I was taught it in a dream. Glory be to God. And it wasn't me alone. Now, so this is 12:13. Now, about 2 years later, you remember, so LAT begins in 2:14. Then in 2:15, okay, you remember Paul and John? Okay, they join LAT. All right, now when they join, one of those days, they had a dream. And in this dream, there's a certain old lady who they regarded as their spiritual mother. Okay? She appeared, I think it was Paul's dream. And this lady came and told them that you guys take that Pastor Moses guy very seriously. Okay? And then she told them, and it is to him that you should give your what? Tithes. How can God tell you something? You understand? Okay, by the way, we've already opened the Bible. So don't just say that, Pastor, he just uses dreams. No. I'm doing what Paul did, amen? He was taught by what? Revelation. Glory be, because sometimes it's important. Someone is told that. They are told that. New Testament. Okay? Praise, You got a dream once. Okay? And it was saying that, God will what? Will prosper you if you give and give offerings and tithes. You remember? I remembered it yesterday. You know, she's there also. Okay? I wanted to ask the dreamer, our greatest dreamer, yesterday. In fact, I typed a message, but then after, I deleted whether he has ever had a thing like that. Glory be to God. By the way, these supernatural experiences are very important. They sort out things, which might be hard to what? To see. Kenneth Hagin, concerning healing, the prophetic ministry, he was taught supernatural experiences. Glory be to God. When I met Elvis, before he failed, the things Elvis knew, yet we had gotten born again at around the same time. Okay? 1998. Man, Elvis was thorough. The insight he had in scriptures was amazing. Okay? Then one time he confessed. Okay? He told me that, like, for him, he got the advantage of being taught in supernatural experiences. Visions, dreams, that, you know, he had many of them that he got to know even things, something before he got to read them in the Bible. You get saved same day, but 1 year later, the guy is a bishop. And for you are still what? Discipleship class. You know, Well, I guess it's because of the calling God has for a person, and God has to do a quick work. That's what happened to Elvis. Hallelujah. Amen. These things are very important. Amen. Okay. I read once Rick Joyner. Okay. Years ago. Because, by the way, these debates of is tithing for the church, what? They have been around for ages. A chintu cha ukreflo, it only came with a very evil anointing with it. But these things have been around. You understand? Why did Creflo thing spread out? Because, man, the enemy got it, or the enemy used him. Nachifukako amafuta ge woo saint. But they think they've been around. Okay? Rick Joyner, years ago, asked the Lord, but God is tithing for the New Testament. Why? Because there was a debate over it. Is it for us or it is not for us? Okay? Then the Lord asked him, okay, that under which priesthood are you? Okay? Then he said, Melchizedek. Then he says, so what happened with Melchizedek and Abraham? Gave him a tithe. And that ended the conversation. That's how God assorted Rick Joyner concerning tithing. Glory be to God. Now, did the Lord need to come and tell him that he could share him with scriptures? But God had to, because he's like, this one, I need to help. Yeah, you know, eh? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bob, are you learning something? Huh? Glory be to God. So that's what I had for you today. God wanted to address this. Hallelujah. And may he bless you. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.